The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
BCR, Barely Controlled Radio. This episode of Barely Controlled Radio, broadcast live from the Man Cave, is brought to you by Dr. George Pappas, board certified and licensed psychologist, sports psychotherapy, and hypnosis. He is located in the Heartwood Wellness Center at 656 Loretta Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hours are very flexible. He will accommodate you any time of the day. Telephone number 412-421-0446. www.drgeorgepappas.com. Check out his bio. It's legit. And although he's advanced in anxiety and weight loss battles, Pappas is true to form in the sports psychology and athletic performance aspect of his livelihood. Very good at it. High school level, collegiate level, professional level, doesn't matter. He's helped me a lot, and I'm not saying that because he's my sponsor. It's reality, and you know, sometimes it takes a sponsorship to admit that, but nobody ever asked, so there you go. His motto is Spartan Training, where mentality becomes reality. Welcome to another episode of Barely Controlled Radio Live. I usually say the Man Cave, but this would be live at Mullins in Pittsburgh across from PNC Park. Man, it's about pirate season, isn't it? You know, it's about time we get a sports team back in the house because Steelers, even though I got a guest here, they kind of didn't bring it through for us. And the Penguins, they're balling tonight, but they're on the road, West Coast. And the Pirates have been balling. So, you know, it's all about Pittsburgh sports in this town. I mean, it doesn't matter where you work. You don't have to wear a tie as long as you have a jersey. And I've noticed that. But my guest, it's so funny because people seem to say, I can't believe you're interviewing the guy that replaced you. Listen, this is a friend of mine. He didn't call up and say, hey, Jeff, good luck, buddy, you suck. He didn't say a word besides he gave me a hug in the locker room when I saw him as he accepted a job from Coach Tomlin and Kevin Colbert and the Rooneys. And I also competed with him in 2005. So obviously in a competition, he didn't take my job. So, you know, I look past that. And what happened was Sean Swedien deserved the opportunity that was no longer my role. And my guest today at Mullins is, what do you call that? You succeeded me, is that what you say? Sean Swedien, the place kicker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Everybody give it up for Sean. You're really not supposed to. I mean, I understand his wife and kids clapping, but everybody else should be like, boo. But anyway, man, Sean, what's been going on with you besides, actually, you know what? I know what's been going on because you told me off air. You're training, but you're playing hockey. And I know that's some kind of crazy shape. So tell me a little bit about hockey because I guess you're Canadian. At least you say that. You act that, you know, you end every sentence instead of a period, you say A. So why don't you go ahead and explain to people where you're from and what you're doing right now.
Jeff, man, it's awesome to be here with you. Enjoying my time with you. Good? It's cool to be here with you. And you talked about when I came in 2010. And a lot of guys don't understand what goes through transitioning families and different guys. So coming in here wasn't... It was exciting for me. I certainly understood what Jeff was going through, and a lot of respect for any kicker, especially Jeff. He treated me very well in 2005 as a rookie, and you know, I'm happy to be back here. Jeff's a buddy, and what I'm doing right now, we're living in Wexford. Yeah, I'm playing hockey. I grew up in Canada. I love it. I'm in better shape right now than I am in November.
Well, you know, because we know kickers don't run too much unless we have to. So I would think skating for a living, it was burning a lot of calories. So I can understand that. But go ahead. What are you doing now besides working out and getting in shape for the season, next season?
I'm a union rep. We're headed to Maui here in about a week. It seems a little ridiculous. That's where we're going to meet. But I'm happy to head out there and take the family.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, man. You said Maui.
Maui.
Well, I wouldn't be complaining about that too much. Well, I was researching you besides the stuff I already knew about you. And the first thing I came across, which I didn't have to research, was the fact that I have two pieces of jewelry that you don't have. I know you so-called took my job in these Steeler fans' eyes, but you can't take these rings off my finger because they're too swollen right now because I had like one drink. But they're too swollen to take off, man. I'm going to ask and this isn't a hateful question. This is being honest because I've been in two Super Bowls and won them both. In the season you took over for me, week 10 of 2010, you guys went to the Super Bowl against the Green Bay Packers. Seriously, though, what was it like in the locker room after you lose the Super Bowl? And this is not a hateful question. This is really like I'm trying to figure it out. I've never been there and I never will. So only you can explain that to me.
It was rough. You know, your hands are shiny. I'll give you that. I got this dulled up ring here from getting married to my wife, and that's a cool one.
You better shine that up, man. She's looking over here.
Certainly not. Doesn't have the shine of yours. A bit envious. Going to keep working, try to get one of those. But going there, you know, the buildup. You know what the buildup's like. So the buildup was the same for me. Came in late
and
year.
And it's Dallas, Texas, too. That's a solid city.
Yeah, I used to play there. You know, we head back. There was a snowstorm or ice storm. Everything was shut down. And the week, I'm assuming the week would have been the same for us. It's pretty exciting. And you get through that game. Once the game starts, everything returns to normal, pretty much, like a normal game. But, man, when that thing was over, I mean, what a deflating feeling. What an awful feeling. You think how hard it is to get to that point. And, you know, what it takes to get back to that spot. And you got to hit everything just right to get there. And then to get there and lose it, that was rough. You know, and for me, having a great family is certainly helpful, you know, with perspective. But football-wise, that was crushing to lose that game.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine, man. And I was cheering for you guys. And I'm a big fan of John Kuhn and Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy. McCarthy's a Pittsburgh guy. John Kuhn played with me here in Pittsburgh in an offseason, or actually in a preseason. And Aaron Rodgers, I just respect just because of the game. But I wasn't really cheering for the Green Bay Packers over the Steelers, but I was wondering, because I asked my teammates that I played with, which were most of them because I played that season, I asked them, I said, you know what? When you guys win, man, can you get me a ring? And they said because I was a captain that year, they would do it for me. And, you know, it didn't work out so well, but I couldn't imagine that feeling because that's the reason you play the game. The money's great. The game-winning kicks are great. Playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers in this fan base is unbelievable. But in the end, you play the game to win the game. And I couldn't imagine how that felt. But when I look through your career, because the reason I respect you more than anything, because I have to respect you because you so-called took my job. But and not only have you taken my job, but for your career, you're over 84%. Which blows mine away by about 1.9%. And actually, that percentage is huge when you think about number of kicks. But that is mad respect, and that's best in Steelers history. Hopefully, you miss like 10 or 15 more in a row so I can take back over. No, but I'm serious, man. That's unbelievable. And the way you kick, you're so fluid and you're so good for that field. But I was thinking about your career. And there were kicks you made with Dallas and Washington that were unbelievable, and there were kicks I know you want back. But the one thing I was thinking about was how in the world, what was it like to play for Jerry Jones? I feel like he runs that team and the coaches have no say. And I kind of want to know an opinion that was in that locker room.
When I headed there right after I got cut, being here in 2005 with you, Jeff, I was naive. I didn't grow up watching football. I didn't even know who Jerry Jones was.
That's pretty sad. Well, I mean, that's a guy I wouldn't want to play for, but...
So, I didn't... I was just going in. I was just playing football. I wasn't caught up in who was there and who wasn't there. I remember when I went from a workout there, my agent asked, was Jerry out there? And I said, who's Jerry? You know, so for me, that really wasn't an issue. Bill Parcells was there. Certainly a wonderful coach. But an intimidating one. You know, so my time there was... tumultuous. You know, I was on the practice roster, I was active, I was cut. Going into 2006, that's when they brought in Mike Vanderjack. If you remember, he was with the Colts, and then after when you guys played. Yeah. So then he came in, we had the same agent, which was pretty strange. So my agent brings Mike Vanderjack into
both
Dallas.
Canadians, though, both Canadians.
Yeah, we actually played a game that year. Matt McBrier, if you remember, Australian punter.
Oh, yeah.
Louis-Philippe Ladouceur,
yeah,
French-Canadian, long snapper. And myself and Mike Vanderjack, both Canadian kickers, were all active in the same game.
That's probably never happened.
Probably not.
And if it did, that's a sad thing, right?
Maybe you could win a drink off somebody at the
time. I mean, you're definitely getting some Jaeger shots.
But playing there was... people love the Dallas Cowboys, you know, and it certainly was a wonderful learning experience for me.
Yeah, the one thing I wonder, because a lot of people like that I just talk to, whether it's social media or just people in the organization or just my friends, like, are you really interviewing Swedgham? I'm like, listen, man, this guy is my friend. I've reiterated this at the beginning, but I'm doing it again because I know in 2005 we had a healthy competition, and I'm a competitor, but I'm the kind of type that I'm comfortable enough to give you some pointers. So what, if anything, did you learn from me besides going to Dino's or Sharky's? What did you learn from me in 2005 that has helped you today?
So when I came in, I was surrounded by Jeff Reed and Chris Gardocki. You know, Jeff at that time was established, and Chris had basically a career under his belt already. And to come and watch the way that you and Chris prepared... coming out of college, I was so raw. I didn't understand what it took to prepare. And to watch you guys, the way you prepared throughout the week, leading up to games, the way you handled yourself on the sideline, certainly that the mental aspect of the game was something that just in watching you guys, how you carried yourself, certainly coming from you guys and then being with Matt McBrier in Dallas my first year, between the three of you, game day demeanor was the biggest thing that I pulled from you guys.
Yeah, because I think that most people don't understand that a lot of people, and I'm sure they still tell you this today, and they still tell me this, but I'm not playing currently. They say, oh, you're just a kicker. Well, they don't really understand that, yes, we have to know how to kick a piece of leather through some three yellow things and to kick off, but your mentality is about 75 to 80% of the game for us, because they have no idea what those fools are saying down there on the field. They have no idea what we have to do to prepare ourselves to be great on Sundays or Mondays, whenever it is, or whenever the playoffs are.
Or Thursday or Saturday.
Or every day of the week now. Yeah, Tuesday night NFL is coming up pretty soon. But what is, when it comes to your routine, because I mean, I had some superstitions. I had some superstitions that were they were a little bit too much. They actually stressed me out, which was not a good thing. But I did them every game, every week. It was game day. It wasn't any other day. Do you have any superstitions? Do you ever do anything on game day maybe that most people don't recognize because all they care about is as long as the ball goes through the uprights, you're the man?
Yeah, so that's not a simple answer, but I'll try. Game day for me, in the past 4 or 5 years, I've learned to trust in my preparation. So a key phrase that I have that I've been trying to help our young punter with, and he's coming along, Brad Wing, is to prepare your body and don't let your mind fill in the blank, screw it up. And that's really helped me along. You know, I trust in my preparation. I believe in it. And if I go out on the field and I miss a kick, I know I didn't miss because I wasn't prepared and I didn't put the time in. And nobody can ever say that to me. And that brings me great peace. something I do on game days, I make a little potion. It's called G6. I take G2, which is Gatorade. You know, once you go G2, it's hard to go back to G. You know. So I drink G2, I dump out half it, I pour the rest in with coffee. I've got three of those, and that's what I drink. I give it to the boys in pregame, and that's kind of the funny thing we do.
And maybe G6 is maybe because you're number six? Does that have anything to do with it at all?
You're a lot smarter than you seem, Jeff.
Man, that's unbelievable, isn't it? I do have a degree in journalism. Maybe that's why I'm doing radio, but... No, but I look at your career highlights, man, and I think a lot of times everyone's enamored with Adam Vinatieri with four or five rings, whatever he has, and obviously he'll be in the Hall of Fame. But his numbers until this last season have not been that impressive to me, and it's not because I'm hating on him, but you look at numbers and you compare people, he's not one of the top guys. But you look at clutch kickers, you look at guys with Super Bowl rings, he's number one. So I look at your numbers, man, and I know that... I mean, people text me when you miss, which is funny. Well, when are they going to have you back? And I'm like, dude, he missed. He's human. It's okay. And, you know, that's just what people do. But I look at your numbers, and I'm overly impressed with the fact that regardless of your percentage, you make the majority of your kicks, like, on this field. And I'm surprised you haven't called me because you have my number and thanked me. Because the reason I got cut is because I spoke my opinion about how terrible the field was. And they actually replace it like every 4 days now instead of every 4 months.
I take it back. I did learn something else from you. When I came in, I learned not to ever say anything about the field to the media.
Or you learn not to ever mention the Roonies, because even if you're saying something good, they'll say Jeff Reed said the Roonies are liars.
Yeah,
because
so
that's what happens.
This is what I do. When I talk to the media, I say the same thing over and over.
So you're like Marshawn Lynch. I'm only here so I don't get
fired.
But
I do it in a friendly manner. I smile when
you smile.
I just talk in circles. They don't get any quotes from me. And now they don't even talk to me.
But well, that's perfect.
I think they like me. It's a good relationship.
Hey, you know what? You keep making field goals, they won't care, and you'll be in a Pro Bowl soon. So your trip to Maui or wherever that Pro Bowl is that I never went to, I was the first runner-up twice, will be actually the Pro Bowl is where the Super Bowl is, right? Is that how this is going to be for a while, or is that just for this? I don't know what's going on. Anyway. I think with your skills and kicking in this town, not because this town's hard to kick in, just because of your conditions and the success of the team, I think you'll be in the Pro Bowl. But I have a question about the kicking game. And this is something I've talked about on local sports radio in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I've talked about it on this numerous times. And Roger Goodell is an enemy of mine. You gotta keep your mouth shut a little bit, because if he does hear this, it's not good for you. But I can't stand the guy, and I can say that. I think he's worthless, and I think he needs to be fired. He needs to fire himself. But we look past that. I think he's trying to change the kicking game to where it may be removed altogether. You look at things. We're gonna try the extra point from the 15-yard line instead of the two. We're not going to have kickoffs in a Pro Bowl. We're going to start from 25, I think it was. And then the narrow uprights where Vinatieri missed like 25 kicks in a Pro Bowl and he didn't miss all year. What's your take on that? I mean, you don't have to comment on Goodell, but what's your take on him changing the total game? Because I feel like it's happening.
Certainly it has an impact on us, obviously more so than him or other guys. I got a thought, and tell me what you think. What if they wanted to decrease the percentage of the kicks guys are making, but they wanted to involve players in it? Say you had, for example, when the ball snapped, it's 8 yard snap point, right? Snap to kick. What if we brought it up to 7 yards?
Well, you have to be seven.
You cannot exceed 7 yards.
Okay.
Right? Now you bring the element of the rush back into play, where you've got more blocks versus skinnier uprights. So you've got more blocks versus missed kicks. What do you think? You don't have to change anything.
I like that, because guys like Stephen Hauschka, who took my job in Seattle, like you took my job in Pittsburgh, he's tall, but he kicks the ball low, so he get like 90% unblocked. We can think about other guys, but I won't call anybody else out. I just call out people that took my job. But the thing about it is, I like that, because I think as a kicker, you should be able to get the ball up as long as everybody else does their job. Now, if the guys on the middle don't do their job, you're pretty much screwed when it comes to kicking field goals in this league, because the guys are so athletic. But my proposal would be, if you're trying to get rid of the kicking game, let them start at 15 yards, and they sprint with nobody protecting. Nobody. They can't touch you, though. They sprint from 15 yards when the ball snapped. It's just a snapper and a holder and a kicker, and you kick every field goal and extra point like that. How weird would that be? But it would give you a pretty decent chance of making it.
Yeah, but then we have no chance of running a fake.
Yeah, you can. Just good luck. You can run a fake.
Yeah, the fakes always work really well in practice.
Yeah, I've run about 45 fakes in practice and one in the game, and I was the blocker in the game. It actually went well, but it didn't feel good.
Yeah.
Have you ever run a fake in a game?
Yeah, things happen pretty quick out there.
Yeah, those guys are kind of athletic in the NFL.
They're pretty fast.
Us kickers think we're pretty athletic until we hit reality.
I've got a funny story for you.
All right, go ahead.
Danny Smith, current coach of the Steelers now, special teams coach. He used to coach, and one year he was coaching, I forget if it was Morton or Gary Anderson, one of those old guys. And the guy's got false teeth, right? So Danny was a first-time head coach or a special teams coach in the NFL, and he was drawing up all these fakes, and he went through it about a 10-minute spiel. And so as soon as Anderson was done listening, he said, "How about we just kick that?" And he swore. And he put his teeth down on the table. So he had his teeth knocked out running a fake before. So I'm cool with it. I had my one opportunity. It didn't work out so well. And I'm happy now just to kick.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much our job. Unfortunately, on kickoffs, if you miss a tackle or something, then you'll be in the media for being unathletic and not making the play. But that's
did you
not
see the guy that had the slide tackle this year? The guy
I did that one time against Dante Hall with the Chiefs.
How'd it work?
Actually, I got him down. It was a 15-yard penalty, and it was a $15,000 fine, so I'd rather just let him score.
15 grand.
I should have let him score. I mean, they reduced it to $7,500, but there's no reason I should go in my pocket for saving a touchdown.
Right? I had an unnecessary roughness penalty when I was with the Redskins. Joe Gibbs was the coach. Back in probably 2007, it was a preseason game. I got unnecessary roughness, hit below the waist on a change of possession. $5,000 for a preseason game.
Hit,
we made like $200.
What were you doing?
I made the tackle. So there was, you know what the guys with the wedge look like, the 300-pounders. There's two guys coming side by side with the returner behind. I came through the guy right at the hip, and I made the tackle. $5,000.
Yeah,
I appealed it.
How'd that work? Awesome.
It took all season, and they denied it.
Hey, well, that was, you got your hopes up for absolutely no reason. I understand, you know. But I'm going to go back to your college days at Bowling Green State in Ohio. I didn't have any idea you played for Urban Meyer, man.
Yep.
And that guy, even though I hate him because I hate Ohio State, I'm sorry if there's any Buckeye fans here, but I'm an ACC guy. But what was it like to play for Urban Meyer? Because he is a legend.
Yeah, so I came in. I just turned 18. Went to school at Bowling Green. Kid out of Canada. Had no idea what I was getting into. I didn't have any aspiration to play football. Kicked some long field goals. Had a scholarship opportunity, so I went. Gary Blackney was the coach. He resigned 3 games into our first year there. It was really strange. Anyways, Urban Meyer comes in January after the season. Man, nobody knew who he was. He was a receiver coach, I think, out of Notre Dame. Loved Notre Dame. Always talked about Notre Dame. But he came in there, and he wanted guys out of there. We were a losing program. What we were doing wasn't working. And it was awful. It was awful. But what an experience. Really helped to mold me into who I am today as a kicker. Extremely difficult. He ran maybe 30 guys off the team in that spring semester. It was very difficult. But what can you say about him? We went from a 3-8 football team to an 8-3 and 9-3 team, and then he was off to another opportunity. Got us on the right track. I'm very grateful. I wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, man. I think that's those are kind of stories I like, because Urban Meyer has coached at schools that I don't like. He's coached at Florida. He's coached at Ohio State.
You don't like Bowling Green?
I don't care about Bowling Green. It's not real football. But, you know, I mean, but there's good kickers there.
You went to North Carolina State? Is that where you went?
Yeah, the Wolfpack.
Yeah, Wolfpack.
Yeah,
that's
they can eat shit. See, I can cuss on here. They didn't hear that. They're eating their food. I'm a Tar Heel, and that is definitely not a football school. Larry Fedora is helping out the offense, but no other aspect of the team. But I will say, let's get back to a little bit of Steeler Nation, man. Before you were to get off here talking about the NFL and the football, before we get to a little personal stuff, why don't you comment off Steeler Nation, man? Because I still see it as a 36-year-old. I still see it all the time, and man, it makes me feel great. So before we get to this this vendor guy that I just saw in the audience today, why don't you tell me a little bit about Steeler Nation and how they so quickly embrace you.
I'd like to talk about that Labatt blue sweatshirt he has on.
No, but this is the guy. Why don't you do your whistle for the yeah, he's the guy. He's at the Pirates games, Penguins. Yeah, he's always doing the John Cena stuff. He sells beer. Like he's not there. But anyway, let's get back to our show because he's not important.
That is good beer.
Huh?
That's a good beer.
Labatt Blue.
You know what country that comes from?
Yeah, that comes from Canada only because I see a leaf. But I will say one thing. That tastes like water. That cannot be good beer. And it's a little bitter too. But I guess that's beer, right? Anyway, go on to the Steeler Nation. Don't you can't like.
No,
ignore that question.
Playing football.
Actually, I kind of hope you would.
Playing football here is special. You know, I'm grateful for every opportunity I've ever had in the NFL, but coming here is special. You can feel it from the minute you walk in. You know that just as well as I do. It's special to be a part of it. We go to away stadiums. You know, we play games in just random states, and sometimes 40-50% of the fans are from Pittsburgh. And you got some of the younger guys in other teams in pregame saying, are your games always like this? You know, and they really are. And it's special. It's special being a part of this.
Yeah, man, I can't say enough about Steeler Nation. I mean, there was a point there where I got, I guess, credit or discredited for hating on the fans, but that wasn't the case at all. That's the media, which I'm now a part of, running away with something that is false. But hey, and it's funny he took that jersey off within 2 seconds because he hates that beer.
Maybe he's gonna give it to me.
Yeah, maybe he will. But probably not because he's cheap. I know. But you've already told me your recipe for success with kicking. But what's your most memorable kick? Even though I understand every time you go on the field it's memorable. And what is the one kick you cannot erase from your mind, even though you try every day?
So I'll start with the good. When I first came here, because I've been out of football, and that's difficult trying to find your way, and I'm sure you felt that when you were trying to transition. So I was out of football for the entire first half of the season, and it's a struggle to try to find your way. You're frustrated. You want to get back into it, and then coming to Pittsburgh, being given that opportunity. Our second game, I think we went to Buffalo and maybe had four or five field goals, some long ones, and made the game winner. And that was where I kind of felt like I was kind of part of the Pittsburgh Steelers at that point. So that sticks out to me.
I was a little jealous.
Well,
I thought that was some bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Tell me how you really feel.
All right. Sorry. They're still eating. They're still not paying attention. The girls are going to Frozen tonight. They don't care.
But that goes to the point with me and Jeff. You know, I've got a lot of respect for anybody who's kicked in this league. You know, it's difficult. People don't understand how taxing it is mentally. You obviously have to be able to kick a ball, but it's a grind. By the time you get done with a season, it is an absolute mental grind. You know, and I'm happy to be part of it. But one that stuck out for me, and I learned a lot, was when I was with the Redskins. At that time, I was having a great year. It was 18 of 20 in field goals. And all of a sudden, I miss a 23-yard field goal by like 6 inches. And then all of a sudden, New Orleans Saints, they come down the field, and they score, and we throw a pick, and they score, and then we fumble, and then they win in overtime. And then, you know, then you're fired. You're looking for work. So, you know, you said you asked about a superstition. I don't know if this is a superstition or just a reminder, but every day that I ever start with my first real field goal, I kick a 23-yard field goal in the right half.
Well, that I'm the same way, man. And the last field goal I ever attempted in Pittsburgh Steeler history, even though I had an extra point after it, was a 24-yarder I missed from the right hash. So at least mine was longer, so I could say you missed the shortest field goal. But no, man, it was embarrassing. You know your capability, and you know how hard you work to get to the point, and you get on that field, and you're focused, and you just miss, man. And you can't blame anybody. Sometimes we can blame as kickers, but in the end, we know that we had a fair chance to make that kick. But going from football over to a little personal stuff, man, we at this point, everybody should know you're Canadian, especially these Steeler fans, because they know more stuff than you know about yourself. How can you guys, fellas, and even the ladies, how do you drink so damn much, man? Your kids are in the bathroom, so now we can be real. And your wife left for a second, too, man, so let's be honest.
It's cold. It's cold. You can't get outside. You're inside. So you just practice.
So you just practice to drink. You never have hangovers. You can drink. You can. I mean, I went out with some Penguins, George LaRocque, Max Talbot. I can't tell you how many. And they're giving my parents a bottle of Jaeger. And I'm like, listen, my mom's 60. You better chill out, man. I don't know what'll happen.
Man, I love hockey, Jeff.
Well, no, I love hockey, too. I have season tickets to the Pittsburgh Penguins here. Still, but it's kind of like, are you not human, or is there a little something else that we don't know about Canadians?
Yeah, two livers.
Two livers.
Two livers.
All right, well, that makes sense. I was wondering, man. I was looking for a good answer. Hey, TC, man, sit down, man. The show's not quite over, all right? You're starting to stress me out. All right, so my next question was, did you ever play hockey? We already talked about that. But if you had to pick one of your current teammates or past teammates, because you played on a few teams, to defend you in the heat of battle, who would it be?
Defend me?
Like, defend you.
What's happening?
Okay,
to me?
So, I don't know. I'm not saying life and death, but I'm saying you got an army coming at you.
An army, and
not a real army, but
like,
you know,
Southside
fake army. Like the Southside fake army.
Okay.
The guys that think they're tough. You have an army coming at you, and you're by yourself, but there's six of those guys. Which teammate would you choose to defend you, and why?
I didn't come in prepared for this. I don't spend a lot of time on the South Side, but...
Well, if you were in Wexford,
like a bunch
of thugs walked down the street, who would you pick to defend?
How about, like, if we were at the hockey rink? We do that?
Well, no, because if you're playing hockey, it's hard enough to skate, so that doesn't count.
I'd pick Brett Kiesel.
Why would you pick Kiesel?
He carries a bow and arrow with him everywhere he goes.
Really?
Yeah.
So you would take the bow and arrow over the gun?
Yes.
Well, I need to fight you then, because I'll go ahead. I'll shoot
quick. It's quiet.
It is quiet. That's funny. Okay. Who is the – and I know in pre-games we always talk to other kickers. We always – even if we're fake, we act like we like them. Because I know how it was with different – like Matt Stover, great kicker for Baltimore. Couldn't stand him. It was just something about the way he walked. I wanted to clothesline him. But then I know I get fined and I get suspended and all that other stuff. And plus it was the Ravens, so
it's
we don't
Ravens.
Like them.
Yeah,
and
it's hard.
So But I was like, hey, sir, how you doing? Because I was way older. He was way older than me, so I called him sir, like overly fake. Who's the one kicker currently that you play against? I'm not saying you can't stand, but it just annoys you a little bit. There has to be one. Let's be real now. You're on my station.
I know.
And it's not going to get back to you where, oh, Sean Sweezum said he hates Jeff Reed.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that question.
You answer it with a name.
But I've got one. I can't do it, man, but I've got one. Believe me, I've got
one. What do you mean?
I can't do it.
You don't have to say exactly. Well, all you got to do is say, I just like this guy a little bit because he is a little bit arrogant. Just go. This isn't a question to get you on ESPN. This is a question to get you on my station, because real stuff comes out, and I would never ask you a question that's going to get you in trouble. All you have to do is say, this guy's a little annoying. Just say a name, and then I'll say the rest. Say the name.
You're on your own, man.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I told you. I'll start talking circles again. That's what I do.
No, I'm not the typical media. I'm your friend on radio.
But you're trying to sneak in back door.
That didn't sound right.
I don't want to touch that either.
Listen, come on. You're married with kids. They went to the bathroom. This is kind of getting weird. All right. So anyway, let's move on to your childhood, man, because I didn't know you growing up, obviously. What is your best childhood memory?
That's easy. That's growing up with the same kids playing hockey and traveling to tournaments on the weekend. Staying at the hotel with those kids and all the parents were friends. And I'm trying to get my girls in hockey because it was awesome.
You want your girls to play hockey?
They skate right now.
No, it's okay if they skate, but you want them to play hockey.
They're in full gear every weekend at Warrendale.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I wouldn't mess with them. I feel for the guys that try to date them later in life. I don't think Sean will do anything, but the girls might. Anyway, so tell me how tough it is as a family man, as a father to two young girls. I think you said 3.5 and 6, correct?
Yep.
How hard is that to balance football during the season more than now, and fatherhood?
Man, they are the best thing that's ever happened to me, and they're special. We're headed, we're hanging out tonight, and Friday nights for us are always special. So during the season, you know, there was one time it didn't work out for us to get on the show together, and I would have loved to have done it. But for us, what gets us through the week and something we always have to look forward to is our Friday nights, our pizza and movie night. So the kids get to pick the movie, and we have pizza in the living room and all that. That's special to us.
Do you ever... Do you want to have, first of all, are you going to have more kids? And if you do you want to have a son? Because that's way too much estrogen in one house.
Yeah, even my dog is a girl.
Dude, and that's your fault.
She's a good dog.
And a great dog.
Good dog.
Does she actually listen, unlike the other three women?
Oh, she's wonderful. Well, they're actually all easy. You're trying to get me in trouble. They're all wonderful.
No, they can't hear us. Maybe they'll listen like next week or something. But no, when you look at these at life, and this has nothing to do with football, what is your biggest strength as an individual, and what is your one weakness that kind of holds you down a little bit that most people probably don't know about you?
Something that my wife is a wonderful...
She's back now, so
yeah,
make sure you say something nice.
Good timing. My wife is a wonderful compliment to me, especially for our family, where especially... when things are busy during the year, maybe I get a little too serious, and for her, she keeps things happy. And,
well, she looks like she's well dressed, so apparently, maybe your paychecks have helped her out a little bit. Go ahead, keep going. I just want to say something while she looked over.
But so, I guess maybe I get a little too serious sometimes during the season. This time of year is easy for me to have fun, and she's a wonderful compliment. Especially with kids, so we keep a healthy environment at home. I try not to bring work home with me, so I never talk about football when I go home. But you know, with being serious in the mood, she really does a nice job helping with that.
I've actually known her for way too long, so that's a compliment to you and her, I guess, because she dealt with you. But she is a great woman, and the kids, they gave me a high five, so that means they at least have a little bit of home training. So that, yeah, she's even, no, you're happy for me, right? What's her name?
Sienna.
Sienna is happy for me. She's clapping for me. Actually, she's clapping for Dad. But
you talk about good things, coming home from work.
See
those girls,
face?
As soon as you open the door, and they both yell Dad and run over and give you a hug. I mean, that's
nothing better than that.
No.
It kind of puts football to a different perspective, man, and I like that. The last question I'll ask you before I get to my extra points section, where I ask you randomly five questions that are kind of funny but serious, is when it comes to food, man, because we're in a bar, and this is great bar food here at Mullins in the North Shore, diagonal from PNC Park. I know it's about to get popping with baseball season, so I'll give a shameless plug for them. Shout out to Keith. But what is your favorite junk food, and what is your least favorite healthy food?
Brussels sprouts, without
question.
That's
your least favorite healthy food?
Steamed. Awful. I'll never make my kids
try. They kind of taste like, they're looking, I won't say.
It was one of those things where growing up, you know, my parents, like, what was on your plate, you're going to eat. And I think
my mom, and she's here.
I think they probably overcooked them. But they were awful. Still to this day, I can't eat the things. I can't.
I can eat candied Brussels sprouts because that means they're unhealthy Brussels sprouts. So it kind of balances it out. And my girlfriend's a chef, so she can always, and she's actually a pastry chef at that, but she can always make the unhealthy stuff taste a little better through her little skills. But my mother's here, and she used to make me eat spinach out the can. And seriously, I'll eat spinach in an omelet. I'll eat spinach in, on a sandwich. But I'm not going to eat spinach out the can. It just doesn't go so well. But what is your favorite junk food, though, that it, like, if it was, maybe if it was healthy, you'd eat it way more often?
Pizza. I could eat pizza.
What's on your pizza, though? Not just cheese and crust and marinara.
Well, it's grilled chicken, barbecue sauce, and bacon. It's excellent. It's awesome.
It is awesome. And it's horrible.
But it's
at the
so
same
good.
Time.
So good.
All right.
Especially late at night sometimes. Leftovers.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Never had a late night pizza. But we're going to move into the extra points section. He's got to get out of here and go to Disney on Ice that I've already seen. So it's kind of embarrassing but cool to say at the same time. But this is the point, extra point, get it? The point of the show where I ask you five random questions. The last one's most important to me because it involves my name. But I ask you five random questions. You say the first thing that comes to your mind. It doesn't have to be a huge explanation. It's just a way to get you out of here, man, on a great note, and people will know a little bit more about you. Number one, name an item on your bucket list.
To hike in the Smoky Mountains.
Well, I live kind of close to those, man. I can set that up.
I'm going there in 3 weeks.
What part? Where are you going?
We're going to meet Gatlinburg? In Gatlinburg, and we're going on a 3-day, 30-mile adventure, me and my buddy, and we're sharing a tent. Is that weird?
With a dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
He's married.
You have a nice ring.
He's married
Ms.
to a
Swayze.
Woman.
Now, I'm not listening to anything he's talking about. You have a very nice ring, and I'm very proud of you, but good luck on that 3-week adventure with a dude.
3-day.
Oh, sorry. I added a few days. All right, so that's awesome, man. Actually, it'll be fun. I've hiked in the Smoky Mountains because that's right around the corner from me, and you'll enjoy that. Just make sure when you get up top, you actually do get light winded a little bit. And,
okay.
I went with my dad, and he's in his 60s, and he about fainted, so that was weird. And the path was about, 4 feet wide, so that was kind of stressing me out with him. But anyway, number two, tell me one of your pet peeves. Like one of my pet peeves, I'll give you an example so I'll give you time to think, is people that come over to hang out or that come to, my sister and I lived together for years, and they want bottled water and they take a sip out of one and they set it to the side. Then they go get a new one and then they take a sip out of that one and set it to a different room and then they get a new one and they have one downstairs. So there's four bottled waters that are open with four sips out of it. That's a pet peeve of mine.
You know what I do when people come over and do that? I throw them all in the garbage.
That's a waste of great water, and you should recycle.
Sometimes, I always recycle. And sometimes I actually pour the water into the dog's water bowl.
Well, that's actually a good way to do it.
Pet peeve?
What's your pet peeve?
So growing up in Canada, everyone takes their shoes off when they come into your house. Everyone.
Oh, so you would hate me. I just walk right in.
So here, and it's just different. Living in the U.S. and different places. And so when people come, and I've learned to adapt. So if it's dry and people look like they've got clean shoes, I don't let it bother me too much, although it is different. But when the weather is awful, or it's like a plumber coming over and I know where those shoes have been, and he's walking in my house, it drives me crazy.
But they're supposed to put those little footy things on.
I know. Just like people are supposed to wash their hands
just
when
like
they walk out of the
just
bathroom.
Just like people
are
supposed to lie to you
bathroom.
And say you're going to be safe in your job when another kicker comes in.
Yeah, I see
yeah,
it happen. Yeah. It's tricky.
Number three, man. What was your first large purchase after you made an NFL roster? Because we all have one. I bought a Louis Vuitton bag for like $1,100, and I can't even find it because it was worthless. It was just LV on it, so
yeah,
I thought it was really cool.
I've never paid that much for a bag. The first thing I did was buy my lovely wife an engagement ring.
Oh, my God. Okay. I understand that then. I was hoping you didn't buy her like some kind of $4,000 yoga pants.
No.
Oh, everybody clap. Okay, clap for her.
She does yoga though.
Yeah, she got the yoga pants on tonight. I'm not looking at all. All right, so we'll move on. Getting stressed out here. Any phobias you have? I don't know. I mean, like you have a fear of football pants because they kind of sag in your butt area.
Oh, so I take my belt off. I don't wear a belt, and I don't wear a drawstring, so there's a lot of times I get a lot of
That's a superstition, though.
No, it's just comfort.
No, that's weird.
It's comfort.
Football pants have a built-in belt. You keep it.
I know, but
it's okay if you haven't hemmed
it
up.
It doesn't feel good when you're crunching and kicking.
So that's OCD. All right, so any other phobias, like, besides?
When people don't wash their hands after they come out of the bathroom.
I'm going to tell you who was a great example, a Canadian Vancouver.
Mitch Berger.
God, that was him. And I used to know he was in the stall, not the urinal, and he came out and gave me five, and I was so stressed out.
You want to talk about awful. When the offensive linemen come out of their meetings, and all of a sudden, they all go straight to the stall, and you know they're not all washing their hands.
Dude,
I'm a fist bumper. I'm a fist bumper.
I just do elbows.
Elbow.
Yeah, because you got a shirt on there. No, but the worst part is, I won't call him out, but one of my old teammates with the Steelers that used to play with the Steelers, then he went to the Jets, and his name's Willie Colon. I'll never call him out. He used to eat while he's pooping. That's disgusting.
What was he eating?
I don't know. There's kids here. But either way, that's disgusting. That is the last environment I want to take a bite out of something in a men's bathroom, especially in a football bathroom.
Yeah, I've got a rule at work. So, like, if somebody's got a magazine or newspaper or anything like that, once it goes in, it's tainted. It cannot come back out.
Really?
Yeah.
The magazine?
Well, think about it.
There's nobody pooped on the magazine, though.
Well, I know, but where have your hands been?
Well, maybe
how you get the magazine back out?
And then up
how you
get
the magazine back out? Think it through.
Well, I mean, you shouldn't wipe with your hands. You should wipe with toilet paper.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'll look at the magazine.
They're tainted.
I just won't eat on the toilet.
They're tainted.
The last question, man, and I'll get you out of here before I pump myself up one time, because I got a little bit of a promotion with my podcast, is, who is Jeff Reed to you, man?
Man, you're a guy that's had a successful career. You've got two Super Bowl rings. Someone who looked after me and was awesome to me when I came in as a rookie. You come in as a rookie in the NFL, and there's a lot that's going real fast. And to have somebody that's at the same position as you to look out for you and take care of you, I'll never forget. That's why I'm here tonight.
Man, I appreciate Sean Sweezer coming out. And, you know, one thing I got to say about this show, my motto, if I gave you a T-shirt, then you're lucky. If I didn't give you a T-shirt, then that sucks for you. But I say you are what you think. And what I mean by that is, there's a book I read called The Secret. And basically, whatever's going through your mind, whether you're kicking a football or whether you're just living your life, if you think you're going to do positive things and be successful, then you will be. If you doubt yourself, you doubt your circumstances, then you can forget about it, because I've been in both situations. But I will tell you, I just got a promotion, and this is kind of breaking news, but it's more important for me than anybody else, because I'll be getting the paycheck, is I got a promotion to Voice America Internet Radio, which is a step below XM Radio, and I will be... And I wanted to break this with somebody I knew would show up as a guest, not these fake people I say are coming that don't show up and make me look bad. Basically, it's a step below XM Radio, and I'll be on Wednesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Variety Channel on Voice America Radio, and I can take calls. So please call in and say something stupid so I can call you out. And I can talk about anything, and I'll have interviews. Sean will be one of my featured guests, but he won't actually have to show up because this will be replayed. Because of the time limit, and it'll be great, man. April 8th, every Wednesday, 4 to 5 p.m. I want to thank you once again, Sean, for coming out. Thank you to your wife and beautiful kids. You guys have fun at Disney on Ice, and have a great night, man. Thank you, brother.
Right on, brother.
This episode of Barely Controlled Radio, broadcast live from the Man Cave, is being brought to you by Dr. George Pappas, board certified and licensed psychologist, sports psychotherapy and hypnosis. He's located in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at 656 Loretta Street. Connected to his crib, it's Heartwood Wellness Center. His hours are very flexible. He will accommodate you any way he can to help you. That's the kind of man he is. Telephone number 412-421-0446, www.drgeorgepappas.com, and he believes in Spartan training. And his motto, where mentality becomes reality.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.